Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, 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 grace and peace. Hallelujah. Shalom, family.
Shalom,
brother.
Hey, shalom, people, grace and peace. Grace and peace, grace and peace. I'm good. I'm doing all right. I'm rushing, but hey, it got done. The Father's merciful. He's very merciful.
He is.
Very, very, very merciful. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Well, I hope everybody is having a great Thursday. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. My name is Brother Isaiah. I'm teaching the lesson tonight. And the readers will be Brother Nakomi, a.k.a. Lil Israel. Grace and peace, family. We're going to go ahead and get started, and I'm opening up today. You know, keep Brother Job in your prayers and stuff. I think he's trying to overcome, the cold. I guess he got like a bad cold, you know. So keep him in your prayers. This guy might be able to pull out and say something earlier. I'm going to lay down after the precept. But we're going to get started without delay. And the name of the precept is called The Righteous, the Wicked, and the Normal Part 2. When I was doing the lesson, I decided that, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and have a Part 3. Because last week we dealt with the righteous that were ordained to come. And it was a pretty, pretty, pretty awesome lesson. And we was able to get a lot of things out of the scriptures according to the precept. You know, all praises to the Father on that. And today, we're going to get a better understanding on the topic of the wicked, because the wicked is the second part of the precept that we're dealing with. And then, God willing, next week we'll be dealing with the normal. So we already dealt with the righteous. We're dealing with the wicked. And the reason why we're dealing with the wicked, we're not going to too much look at the topic of just somebody just, you know, might be out there. But we put the precept on a pedestal, on ordained to come, because the Lord showed us that we had John the Baptist, we also had Moses, Aaron, you know, Adam, you know, them brothers were ordained to come for righteousness. But we also got to understand that we also have wicked that is ordained to come, you know, because it's very important for us to understand what the scripture said. The Lord said, behold, I said life and death, and I said good and evil. Choose life and live, right? Why do we think God said that? Because if you sit back and think about it, God created both of them. So, I mean, whatever road you want to go down, I'm in control of both of them. I have the righteous set up to do a portion of something righteousness, and I also got them that's set up for wickedness to do their portion for my sake. So whatever road you choose, I'm in control of both of them. So when things is just out of the way, top dog, wicked, and messed up with folly, If you took that wrong passage, God created that anyway. So that just destroyed the whole thing of, well, if God existed, then why is the world so messed up? Because if you read your Bible, he didn't want to tell us he tearing this whole damn world up to pieces. But it is up to us to choose the right path. You can choose the right side, or you can choose the left side. The choice is ours. Because whatever wickedness you think you're going to get yourself into, God created it anyway. And he have his minions that he created just for that purpose. So this is a short lesson. I could have went on here, but, you know, we just get, I just want to get the point across. So it's not a long lesson, so we can just bear with me. So I'm going to start us out on the Lord's Prayer. And then Brother McComey can read whatever the Father put on his heart. So all sisters, please cover your head. All brothers, please uncover your head. And if possible, let us all face east towards Jerusalem so we can pray in. After this man, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. He that revenges shall find vengeance from the Lord. And he will surely keep his sins in remembrance. Forgive thy neighbor the hurt that he hath done unto thee. So shall thy sins also be forgiven when thou prayest. One man beareth hatred against another, endureth he seek pardon from the Lord. He showeth no mercy to a man which is like himself. Endureth he ask forgiveness of his own sins? If he that is but flesh nourish hatred, who will entreat for pardon of his sins? Remember the end and let enmity cease. Remember corruption and death and abide in the commandments. Remember the commandments and bear no malice to thy neighbor. Remember the covenant of the highest and wink at ignorance. I have read Ecclesiasticus chapter 28 verses 1 through 7. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I was sure looking for an end verse, and we got one, bro. Can you hold that one down for me for the last precept?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you. That's a really good one, too. That can go a lot of spots, too. All praises. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to get into the scriptures. As always, pure razor blaze of lemon juice, just in case if any new listeners is tuning in today. Well, tonight, and we are live. The name of the precept is called the righteous, the wicked, and the normal. You know, last week we dealt with the righteous that were ordained to come, and now we're going to deal with the wicked and wickedness and how the wicked is ordained to come for part two. So it's time for us to get a better understanding on this thing, because a lot of people, you know, they ignorantly think that it's a war between the good angels and the bad angels, the devil going against God and all that. No, they all dance to God beat. I'm sorry. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as the devil arm wrestling with God. That's all folly and fairy tale. God is in control of everything. There's no such thing. Because God is in control of everything. Excuse me. So, the first thing we got to do is check out a conversation that the Most High got, well, through the mouth of David. It was spoken of by the mouth of David on an interesting topic I like to go to from time to time. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Psalms chapter 55. Yeah, Psalms chapter 55. And what we're going to do is read verses 13 through 14. Psalms 55 verses 13 through 14. And let's pay really close attention to this conversation. Sorry about that. Psalms 55, verses 13 through 14. Will you get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
Psalms 55, starting at the 13. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company.
Amen. So, you know, when you get into this whole conversation, you can understand that this wasn't a conversation that David was having with himself. But this was just basically a more futuristic conversation with the Most High and the folly that he had to become, that the folly that he had to be going through at that time appointed. You know, let's talk about his equal. David ain't never said, Lord, I'm equal to you and stuff like that. No. But if you really catch hold of this conversation, this is a conversation of the Most High talking to the Father. You know, it said it was a man of my equal. But then when you read verse 14, it said we took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. So when you look at this conversation of sweet counsel and walking into the house of God, and they gathered themselves together, well, in God in company. When you really look at this conversation, it seemed like they're having a very, very, very interesting conversation. Two men, well, two spirits, same power, same equal, same strength, having a conversation on how they're going to get this world back the way it's supposed to be. Because remember, we already dropped the ball in the book in the Garden of Eden. We already dropped that, you know? But God had a plan A and a plan B. Plan A, they don't die, they stay in the Garden of Eden. But plan B is they go die, and I'm going to have to figure out, me and the Father got to figure out how we're going to bring this earth back to peace, or how we're going to get this thing set up straight. So since we dropped the ball, you know, the Lord had to deal with plan B. And I guess plan B is a lot better than just throwing everybody into the lake of fire. So if you look at the portion of plan B, since Adam and Eve dropped the ball with plan B was taken. They had to take sweet counsel together and to see how they're going to play this whole thing out to get this thing back right. Some go have to play the wicked part. Some go just have to be limited out to the fire. Somebody got to betray me. I go down there in the flesh, but somebody got to betray me. The Great Tribulation. Somebody got to play them parts, brothers and sisters. The Man of Perdition. Somebody got to play that part. When the Lord said, when evil into the land, have not out of the Lord done it, somebody got to play that wicked part. When you look at the chastisement of Israel, if we didn't take heed to the scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, chapter verses 15 through 68, where we went on slave ships and when the slaughtering and the raping and the abusing chaos happened to us, somebody had to play that part. So this is why we got to be so careful when we try to put our mouth on something wicked, because we don't know what part the Lord gave him to play anyway. Now, we're not just talking about that wicked guy, but we're talking about it's an ordained conversation. Because we got to understand, everybody has to play a part. You have the righteous that play their part, and you're going to have the wicked that play their part. Somebody got to do it. Why? Because we on plan B. Plan A was shut out the window. I don't think we made it past a day. Eve hearkened to Satan, and she took the conversation with her husband. Plan A is out the window. Everything was still fresh. So we got to deal with plan B. Somebody got to play these parts. I got to die for these sins because their blood ain't good enough. Hello, somebody say something? Well, amen. Somebody got to play. So when they took sweet counsel together, they had this of a plan A, they had this of a plan B. Plan B is what we got to deal with. So now we got to deal with plan B. But let's get some closure out of this just in case before we wreck this ball. Let's get some closure out of this conversation. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 18. The book of Ezekiel chapter 18. And all we want is verse 23, Ezekiel 18 and 23.
Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?
But what if there was ordained to come? What if they just had to play that wicked part? So now we got to look at this whole conversation. Even when we pop up on a scripture like that, we cannot think physical. We got to think spiritual. But what about the man that got to play the wicked part? You know, because we all was just, you know, we all fighting the flesh now. We all trying to do better. You know, we trying to knock off as much wickedness as we possibly can. You know, we win some, we lose some. We know how the battle go because everybody know the plague in their own mind. They know what's holding them back. You know, or even the people that the Lord has given chances and time to repent from their ways and stuff like that. You know, that just haven't found God yet. He desired for them to change their ways. But what about the one that was ordained for the wickedness? It seems like they don't get a chance to change their ways because they got to play that part. Now, let's check out a little portion of this conversation. Let's go in the book of John, chapter 17. The book of John, chapter 17. And all we want is verse 12.
St. John 17 and 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
Oh, so when they took when the Most High and the Father took sweet counsel together, it ain't too far fetched to find out that somebody got to play that part so it could be fulfilled. You got your righteous parts that need to be fulfilled, and you also have the wicked parts that need to be fulfilled. But woe unto the man that got to put that on their shoulders and entertain that. They got to play that part. Because all Adam and Eve had to do was what? All they had to do was just listen to God. And then we won't have to be dealing with plan B. But since we didn't take heed to plan A, we forced the Most High to go deal with plan B. I ain't going to throw all y'all in the fire and have Satan all in my face. Yeah, I killed your whole creation. No, I refuse to be beat by him, by my own creation. So what I'm going to do is have a plan B. Plan B is that somebody got to fulfill them parts that take part in wickedness. Somebody got to fulfill that. But right now, we're dealing with the man of perdition. Why? Because the son of perdition got to come and do all this wickedness so the scriptures can be fulfilled. Because the Lord said, wait, my words don't come back to me in vain. But it said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Somebody got to fulfill it. Now let's look at somebody else who had to fulfill their part to let you know that there was more than the son of perdition. Somebody had to betray Jesus. Because if everybody was so high and holy and uppity, then who in their right mind would try to kill Jesus? Nobody would try to kill Jesus. And we all will still go to the fire because who go take that blood? So somebody had to be created for that mindset to play that part to portray Jesus. And let's find out according to the scriptures so we can also know that that part had to be fulfilled. So let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 26. The book of Matthew chapter 26. The book of Matthew, chapter 26. And we're going to read verses 47 through 56.
47, Matthew, chapter 26, verses 47?
Mm-hmm, 47 through 56.
And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legion of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitude, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye lay no hold on me. For all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
Oh, so, man, they forsook and fled? Man, so I'll let you know, man, Jesus died a very lonesome death, you know? But after all, but you know, after all that play action that Judas was doing with Jesus, I mean, Jesus knew he had to do it. Why you think the Lord told him to hurry up and do what you got to do quick? Go ahead and get this out the way, man. But what did it say in verse 56? But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Somebody had to fulfill that part. Somebody had to betray Jesus. Somebody had to beat him to death. Somebody had to jam nails in his hands and pierce his side and pierce his beard and strike his heart even after he died and he thirsted and gave him vinegar. Somebody had the mindset to play that part off. Because on your own time, go to www.thesoundsoflivingwatersblogtalkradioshow and type in the search bracket, The Passion of Christ. That's the precept that the elder did. You know, it go further depth in detail of the slaughtering and abuse that the Most High had to take hold on, you know what I'm saying, to play that part. Because it go way 3D in on what we what really went down, other than how this precept is going. But on your own time, go in the search bracket and click in the Passion of Christ. And then it'll give you the mindset that they had to have so the scriptures can be fulfilled. Somebody had to give him vinegar to drink. Because after he had got that vinegar to drink, he, hey, my mission is complete. And he gave up the ghost. Jesus could not die until all that was fulfilled. So if you look at it in actuality, Jesus could not die until the men who had to play a wicked part fulfilled their part. So once they fulfilled their part, then Jesus was able to give up the ghost and give us a second chance at everlasting life. But somebody had to do the woes. W-O-E, woe. Somebody had to play the woes. So once you understand the Bible and we understand the scriptures, when you understand that this is just a part that people got to play, then it let you know full-blown fact that God has not lost control of this world. Because the Lord said, I set life and death in front of you. I set good and evil in front of you. But I'm telling you to choose life and live. But if the Lord said choose, if he tell you the word choose, that means you have the option to choose whatever part he put on the table. I got a right side and I got a left side. But you go on the right side. But if you go on the left side, then you got to go deal with my other devices I got on the table. You don't want to deal with those devices. So go deal with the devices I made right and fit for you. That's good for you. Don't go choose other stuff that I created for the wicked. You choose the right path. Because let's look at something else for this, to show us that these wicked people just got to come. Some going to be coming normal, some going to be coming righteous, and some going to be just coming out playing all wicked because they got to be born and have that part. Let's figure this thing out. Let's go into the book of Psalms chapter 58, the book of Psalms chapter 58. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is pick this thing up at verse 3, the book of Psalms 58, verse 3. Psalms 58, verse 3. And all we want is verse 3. So when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Psalms 58 and 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies.
Oh! So that child just can't get right? You know, strangling animals? Those smashing birds for pleasure can give you somewhat of an idea of what's going on in their minds. Not saying all of them. But you know that them problem childs, that you just know something ain't right, then you should be able to identify them according to the scriptures, because the Bible says some are estranged from the womb. Some are just born wicked. Some are just born wicked. Some just born wicked. Because the Lord said, I set life and death in front of you. I set good and evil in front of you. Choose life and live. So the Lord put in your eyesight life and death and good and evil. Let me see which one you're going to choose. Because if you choose the right path, then I know you love me. But if you choose the wrong path and just start just going all out into every last wickedness that's under the sea, then I know you hate me. But in order for me to know what side you own, I got to put these two pieces in front of you. The red pill and the blue pill. Which one are you going to choose? So it's not the words that come out of your mouth, but it's your actions. Your action towards righteousness is supposed to be far greater above your downfalls. But going back to the scriptures, we just know that some are just ordained to play that part. So let's go in the book of Romans chapter 9. The book of Romans chapter 9. And I'm getting high. Let me take this sweat off. Give me 1 second. Where is getting hot? All right, we're in the book of Romans chapter 9. And let's get another understanding on why we should understand that some people just got to play that wicked part. They got to be ordained to come. They got to be here. So we're in the book of Romans chapter 9. The book of Romans chapter 9. 15 through 18, when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Romans chapter 9, starting at the 15th. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he pardon.
Oh. So that just put us on that place. So you think Egypt was victorious because of their understanding? You think those most fierce warrior race of soldiers in Egypt? No, God made them that way. And Pharaoh, the one that Moses had to go talk to about letting my people go, before he was born, he was already had to play this part out. He already had to be full of pride. He already had to be full of arrogancy. He already had to be stiff-necked. And the Lord made sure he stayed stiff-necked by giving him an extra portion of being stiff-necked, because the Lord said that I'm going to harden his heart that he don't let the people go. So that means he already was going to lose everything he had, and his and the firstborns and his child. It was already etched in stone for them to lose their life. But all of this was just to show that God is. And the Lord allowed Egypt to be the greatest piece of property on the planet, so the children of Israel can see that I don't care how powerful a nation think they are, I took them down without even breaking a sweat. That alone should have showed the children of Israel that God can do anything he so ever well please. This is why he was so angry and frustrated with them in the wilderness for 40 years. You see me, you see a pillar of clouds of fire. You see the frogs that I'm dropping. You see the fire coming down to the sky. You see me kill the Pharaoh and his people. You see me split the Red Sea. You walked on dry land. You seen me in the wilderness in a fiery pillary cloud, dark clouds, teaching you the Ten Commandments. I'm showing you all of these things. I even created Pharaoh before he was born to get him into the highest position possible, so you can see me tear him down to show you that I am him. I am the Almighty God. I did all of this so you guys can see. So when the Lord made Pharaoh this great, powerful king, he only made him that powerful king so the children of Israel could see how I can tear him up little to nothing. That also should have humbled the children of Israel too. Now let's find out more of this thing to show that God is in control. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. And all we want is verse 39. The book of Deuteronomy 32 and 39. You get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
Oh, so look, God is the bad spade. He's the bad spade. He telling you, I kill. I make alive. I heal. I do all these things. So we look at all this wickedness and all this drama in this world. You better go back and read your Bible. Because it all go back to what? If evil into the land, had not the Lord done it? Somebody got to play these parts. And the only reason why I said that I, the Lord, is doing this is because the Lord worked through me. And we got to understand this is why the wicked is ordained to come. Why? So scriptures could be fulfilled. That's why. And even I popped my mouth off and used the scripture already 10 times, it was also part of the precept. So let's go to the book of Amos, chapter 3 and 6, since it's already in here. The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 6, that one verse. The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 6. When you get it, bro, that one verse.
Amos 3 and 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it?
No, there you got it. You have it right there. So if evil went into the land, have not I the Lord done it? You think I'm just up there and in third heaven just chilling, not knowing what's going on the earth? We better believe that this is part of the Lord. He do this thing too. Because when you read the Bible, who doing all the killing? And when it say that this evil is going into the land, if evil into the land, not the Lord done it? So why are we kind of keep talking about the wicked man or Esau and all that kind of stuff? Going on slave ships and all that. Isn't that considered evil coming to the land? And evil is happening to us? But then we just read in the book of Amos chapter 3, verse 6, if evil entered into the land, have not I the Lord done it? And how did he do it? By using other men who were ordained for that scripture to be fulfilled if we disobey. Somebody got to play that part for the last time. Now let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, and all we want is verse 15.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil.
Read verse 16, too.
16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it.
Amen. So, if you look at verse 15, it says, see, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. So the Lord set good and evil in front of us? Well, if you think about it, how else would he know that we love him if he didn't put it in front of us? What was the purpose of having Satan the devil in the middle of the garden? What was the purpose of having him in the middle of the garden? To see who we love and trust. So the Lord put things in front of us to see how we're going to do. Let's be mindful of that. Now let's go into the last scripture. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 15 through 37. Because we got to understand before, somebody got to play this part. And let's look at it if we did not obey God. That means somebody got to play this part. So in the book of Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 through 37, you get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting at the 15th. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kin and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with a inflammation and with a extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of the land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thy enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall free them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrod, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thy eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto other people, and thy eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thy eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot until the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and the king which thou shall sit over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee.
Oh, so you mean to tell me that all this stuff is going to happen if we don't obey God? That a major chaos and drama and adversity is coming our way. And when you look through history, when you really look through history and read history, as a matter of fact, if you look into this common day, you see the exact continuous thing happening to these people. And the first thing we do is have our phones open and be like, oh, look what they're doing to us. No, you should be using your Facebook Live to prove scriptures that this is going to happen to these people if we disobey God. But the Lord gave us the blessing and the cursing. So the cursing is going to happen to us if what? We don't obey Him. So that means who was ever ordained for wickedness, the Lord go make sure He set them over us to make sure this happened to us. Somebody got to have a mindset, because somebody got to fulfill that part. So this is a portion of the scriptures that we use today to show the wicked ordained to come and what they do. But you can't even look at them, because if evil went to land, how the Lord done it. God is a bad spade. This is His chess table. Okay? All right, brother, come, you get that scripture?
Yes. And it is we're going to go into Ecclesiasticus chapter 28, verses 1 through 7, just in case the people at the board want to know the scripture. And it reads, "He that revenges shall find vengeance from the Lord, and he will surely keep his sins in remembrance. Forgive thy neighbor the hurt that he hath done unto thee, so shall thy sins also be forgiven when thou prayest. One man beareth hatred against another, and doeth he seek pardon from the Lord. He showeth no mercy to a man which is like himself, and doeth he ask forgiveness of his own sins? If he that is but flesh nourish hatred, who will entreat for pardon of his sins? Remember the end, and let enmity cease. Remember corruption and death, and abide in the commandments. Remember the commandments, and bear no malice to thy neighbor. Remember the covenant of the highest, and wink at ignorance. I read Ecclesiastes chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I hope y'all were paying attention to what that brother was saying. And that concludes our precept for tonight. A portion of the scriptures we read tonight was considered the wicked that were ordained to come. But the name of the whole precept is called The Righteous, the Wicked, and the Normal. And this was part two of us dealing with the wicked. So through the grace of God, I hope we all got some understanding. I thank you for your time. I turn things over to Brother Job and Sister Rev. Thank y'all for your time.
Amen. 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 Lesson, Brother Isaiah. Wonderful reading, Brother Nakomi.
Awesome reading. I felt that spirit on him today. All praises, Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like you, Brother Isaiah. I like that scripture from Ecclesiastica. I like that.
Oh, yeah. I sure do. You know, that's what I believe, boy. You can't go wrong with the Bible and Apocrypha. You know, I was actually thinking of a metaphor. Think of it like in a parable. You know, it's like why go into war with just a shield and a sword? Why not go to war with a shield and two swords, one in your hand and one on your side, just in case they knock one down?
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Right. Hey, amen. Shalom.
Shalom, put that armor on.
Woo. Amen.
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 Shalom.
Good lesson, brother.
Hey, shalom. Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, Mr. Wright. Excuse me. I just want to say great precept. I got a question.
Well, go ahead.
Between Cain and Abel, how would you look at him? Would you look at Cain as an elect, or would you look at him as the wicked, or would you look at him as a very elect? Or would you look at Abel? Would you look at Abel as the very elect? Of course, he ain't with it, but how would you view that?
I would look at Abel as the very elect. Now, Cain?
Normal?
I can put that in the precept, and I can do it that way. Because that question, that's 50 scriptures plus. I can do that.
I'm asking. Inquiry minds want to know.
You know, because you got to think about it, you know. And, you know, I mean, because when you look at Cain, right? I mean, the Lord gave Cain chances. What did the Lord tell Cain? If thou doest well, would it not be accepted? You know,
that's
and then
right.
you go and look in the future when it came to Judas. When you look at the future and the Lord talking to Judas, then the Lord call him friend.
Amen.
You know, yes. even though he called him friend, we just read tonight that somebody had to play that part for the scriptures to be fulfilled.
That's right, amen.
You know, so it could go either way. I can do my research and study on that thing, but that can go either way, bro.
Okay,
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, big bro. Yes,
Cain is very elect.
He's very elect.
When it comes to the order, where is Cain at in the order for the family of Adam?
Okay.
He's number three. He's the third person.
So you just said Cain.
He's a number three. And then what did Cain even present to God?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that came from the earth, number three.
Ooh.
And then who replaced Cain? Who is the third after Adam when you come to the other side? It is Enos who we start calling on the Lord through that person that replaced Cain.
Whoa.
Teach.
Amen.
Wow.
Ooh, you should have been like, you should, well, Joe, you could have just been like, hey, Nakomi, I got a question.
No, this is your list.
Well, but no, but you know, no, the reason why, no, oh man, no, I love it, you know, I love it to death, you know, but like I said, you know, like how it's set up, everybody has their portions. That's how many times have y'all heard me say the Bible's infinite? You know, the Lord can allow us to put anything onto the table, but somebody can go a whole other. They can go across the street and come back to the same precept. That's why I believe the Bible is infinite, and that's a proven fact that just happened right now.
Amen.
You know what, Nicole? When you look at it, Cain did not make his call in the election, sure. You're right. Because he was elect. And he had an opportunity. He said, would you not be accepted? So, he was saying, he already told him he was going to be accepted if he did what was right. And he chose not to. Okay. All right.
Amen.
Ooh,
amen.
Holla.
Yeah, amen.
But Brother Isaiah, great lesson. I like the premises of it because, like you're saying, I want to read Romans. Because, like I'm saying, I always say, man, I just think, hope God don't choose me to be the wicked. Because I'm going to read Romans chapter 9. He was in chapter 9, verse 21. He says, have not the potter power over the clay of that same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. So, you can be a vessel of honor or dishonor. I just thought that. I just pray to God I'm not a vessel of dishonor. That he don't make the vessel of this.
Mm-hmm.
Right, great lesson. I'm saying, you just better hope you ain't picked for that side. For him to pick you to be that. Mm-hmm. I thank God that he got me in the work of the Lord. He got me doing this thing because he could have chose me to do something else.
Amen.
With that, I yield the mic.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Nakomi, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Would that bring us back to the separation of Jacob and Esau?
Yep.
Vessels of honor and dishonor before they were even born?
Yes. He made that choice. That's also in Romans chapter 9. He said, so before they've done any good or bad, verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but to him that calleth.
Ooh.
He made that choice before he was even born. And people say, you know, it's a saying in the world, it's a saying in the world, God hates the sin, not the sinner. He had it in for it, he did anything.
I hate to sin.
Yep. He's still saying people don't pay attention to God. The people don't pay attention to Pharaoh's son. God did not like Pharaoh's son. He hated the little rascal because he didn't give his daddy a chance to even save his life.
Ooh.
He told him, if he don't let my son go, I'm going to kill your son, but he hardened his heart when he never had a chance. So guess what? God always wanted to kill that little rascal.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't pay attention to it. We don't pay attention to how this book is written. He always wanted to kill Pharaoh's son. Pharaoh's son never had a chance.
Right. Because he died. He was a child. He never had a chance.
Matter of fact, you know what made me? It reminded me of them three kids that called Samuel Baldhead. You know, and he cursed them. She-bears came and slaughtered him. Yeah, Elijah, excuse me. Elijah. Yeah. And he cursed him and he killed him.
You know, it's a serious topic here.
Now you get a mic.
Wow. Amen. Well, yeah. We don't see any more hands up. Any closing comments?
No comments. You know, I'm Cyrus. I don't know, no comments.
Amen.
No comments. But yeah, man, the grace of God, y'all. Hopefully, man, Father willing, y'all, we could have us a pack of comic books on deck of the book of Exodus 20. Man, I might be in tears, but yeah, it's almost done. We already got the ebooks going through right now. But we haven't presented anything yet for the ebooks. So far I got Exodus 20 on ebook on my page, and not my page, but like the actual web page for the comic book thing. And also The Face of Moses Shown is also, on the ebook. But through the grace of God, the Father willing, the Father so merciful, this month or next month, we'll be able to have the very first all-black published comic book of the prophets according to the scriptures, the book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Very first. And so through the grace of God, man, you know, the Father's been dealing with the book. It's been done already for a while. You know, I'm dealing with another book right now, helping the sister with a coloring book. But the grace of God, man, then we get Samson and the rest of them on. And Father willing, brothers and sisters, we're going to have ourselves a cartoon. That's the next step, to have a cartoon to really show the people or give them a kind of a depth of understanding of how the scriptures is going in a cartoon animation form. So we got some good things coming up, brothers and sisters. And through the grace of God, I can't wait to share with you guys. But that's all I have. But, you know, this precept, understand who the wicked is, you know, and understand that's what the Lord sent our way to get this point across. With that, I get a mic.
Brother Isaiah, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Is it possible that you can get your comic book electronic, like narrated?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to go more 3D with it. I actually have an understanding. Hey, baby. I actually have an understanding on animation. So I don't know, through the grace of God, you know. I know, you know, we got you, Job. I asked you already, you know, for that Moses coming book. We need a voice actor, you know, for the Lord, you know. And, you know, I'll talk to y'all more about that. But to answer your question, yes, we can.
Okay, amen. All right, well, hey, we want to thank our brother Isaiah Brown of the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class and brother Nakomi of the Nation of Peace of Israelites out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Read it for you. Can catch Nakomi every Wednesday night here at the Sound of Living Waters at 7 o'clock p.m. Bring in that.
Kingdom state of mind.
Kingdom state of mind.
On WGCI.
Catch your brother Isaiah here every Thursday night at the Sound of the Water. There's to say the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class. Out of Peoria. So, I can't even get my cuckoo out there. But,
cuckoo!
Thank you, baby.
Cuckoo! Right back at you. It's my turn.
Cuckoo!
I couldn't get it out. Anyway. you want to be back here tomorrow night. But the wealth of Israel. Mm-hmm. And that would be myself and Sister Rhea. Mm-hmm. And I really want to deal with demonic possession.
That's right, amen.
But I don't want to call it demonic possession because there's no such thing as
demon.
No term demonic or demon. Only devils in the Bible.
That's right,
okay,
amen.
So we're going to hold it like that. So... I really want
to
deal with
you. Will bring that when I gotta go to work.
Wait. You at work at 7 o'clock p.m.
Right. You're not at
what?
Work until 7 o'clock. You could still chime
what?
In.
On Friday?
No. I thought this was the morning time. I thought this was for the Sabbath morning.
No, and he's changing it. Oh yeah, babe. He's not off the Sabbath. He changed it too, so you can read for him. It's all good though.
No. Actually, what I did was is that last Friday, the mm-hmm. couple of weeks we've been dealing with the kingdom on the earth,
right?
And mm-hmm. so I moved that precept to the Sabbath day,
part three,
and then I want to open up Friday night with a brand new precept.
Okay, amen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You're a bad spade, bro. Go ahead. I ain't gonna stop you.
Right. With all that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify. And as we hope we edify someone,
and as we say here,
and to some,
sounds a little water to be blessed.
Do what?
Read your Bible.
That's right.
Read your Bible, people.
Okay,
read your Bible.
Brother Paul. Read your Bible. Read the book.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.